When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends. Plus, get breaking business news every day. The Financial Exchange is a proud partner of the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. You too can support our great American heroes by visiting financialexchangeshow.com/DAV. And now, it's time for the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong.
Chuck and Mike here with you as we kick off our Veterans Day show. And we're just so pleased to be a part of this year's DAV Radiothon that's produced by our Boston affiliate, WRKO. The Radiothon, it's going on all day today. Anyone who's been listening, you know we've been raising money for the DAV really all year at this point. We had the big 5K race over the weekend. We gave away those Bruins tickets yesterday for tonight's game. But we've got this Radiothon going on that, again, our Boston affiliate, WRKO, is producing all day today. And so please donate now by calling 978-632-1985. That's 978-632-1985, or go to davma.org. If you're making a gift on the website, make sure you click on the link for the Radiothon and then click the link that says tickets. That's how you'll make your online gift. So again, we're hoping to really contribute just a lot of money towards a group that has sacrificed an awful lot so that all of us can enjoy our daily lives. And we have a debt that we really can't repay for folks that, you know, have spent years serving overseas and, you know, again, really might be struggling to kind of put things back together as they come back to the States. And so, again, please consider making a gift as part of our Radiothon. The number again is 978-632-1985. And this hour of our show is sponsored by the Massachusetts Air National Guard. So again, donate now by calling 978-632-1985 or go to davma.org. That's 978.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
632-1985 or go to davma.org.
And we got big shoes to fill last year, Chuck. I was taking a look at the numbers from 2019 when we did this last, the last Veterans Day we were able to do this.
Yeah.
WRKO helped raise over $233,000. So big bar to get over here, and hope everybody can help participate today.
Well, there's been some inflation, so I'm hoping we can get over 250.
I would think so. I mean, you know, given the pace of inflation, we should be able to definitely beat that, right?
And that is a fantastic segue into our first topic of the day, which is yesterday's inflation report that came out hotter than really just about everyone expected. We were expecting to see a 0.6% rise on the headline CPI number for the month, came in at 0.9%, and we were expecting to see 0.4% for the core number, came in at 0.6%. And so we had a nice little sell-off yesterday. It wasn't anything that was panic in the streets. It wasn't anything where, bond funds were getting carted off left and right and, you know, major issues there. But it was something that I think all investors need to be aware of as a possibility if we continue to see these types of inflation prints. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road for me, Mike, is expectations about whether or not this trend is going to continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, by all accounts, worst inflation reading since 1993, decades since the last time we've seen an inflation print like what we're seeing right now. And, you know, you mentioned the market, you know, slight sell-off yesterday, really over the last 2 days, as investors are kind of readjusting to this. I'm guessing the two of you spent a fair bit of time going through some of the detailed numbers. I think why it's getting as much attention today as, we've been running very high inflation for the last several months. Granted, this is the highest reading we've had so far this year. But I think why it's garnering much more attention now is that it is now genuinely impacting every area of daily life. When it was used cars, you could look at that and say, okay, well, whatever, I won't buy a used car. I can, most people can avoid that. When it was, you know, lumber prices or, you know, a multitude of different items, you could say, okay, I can forego that for the time being. But now we're talking about, you know, food prices rising dramatically. We're talking about energy prices, gas prices. I mean, when you have those two items moving, food and energy, that's when everybody takes notice. And I think you're seeing a bit of that now where most people might be a little bit late to the game. Investors tend to worry about all sorts of things probably later than they should. We saw that with the Delta variant, right? Everybody started worrying about it in September when it was already on the decline. I guess my question for you, Chuck, is are you seeing any sort of indication that we are peaking right now? I mean, what were we, 6.2% year over year? That's a huge reading. As I mentioned, the worst in three decades. Do we see indications that, hey, this is about as bad as it's going to get? Or, you know, I tend to think it's going to still be high for a period of time, but I'm hoping that we might be seeing signs that, hey, this can't get a whole lot worse than where it is right now.
Yeah, I think there are a couple things in my mind that I don't know if this reading is the exact peak, but I think we're likely to see that peak in the next 2 to 3 months. And the reason that I come to that conclusion is twofold. The first is that when we look at personal income levels and personal spending growth, both of those have basically resumed their pre-pandemic 4% annual trend that we had seen over, you know, the past several years before the pandemic started. So I think in general, it's really, really hard. It's almost impossible for inflation in the long run to be running at 6% when incomes are only increasing by 4%. There's not enough money to go around. But what we did see over the last year and a half was we saw a measured drop in spending, a significant annualized drop in spending right around the pandemic. And we also saw a boost to incomes through a bunch of government assistance and stabilization programs, the PPP loans for businesses, stimulus checks and unemployment for individuals, billions of dollars for airlines, just because why not? So these are the kinds of things that we're no longer seeing at this point. There are no more stimulus checks. The enhanced unemployment is gone. And so as we see personal income growth return to that 4% annualized trend, it's something that puts somewhat of a long-term cap on where inflation can be. The other piece that I think we are seeing is we've seen this big shift. Part of the reason why we're seeing such big supply chain issues is that we are seeing just a massive shift in what individuals and households are buying. Prior to the pandemic, growth for services and goods spending both were clipping along at about a 3 to 4% annualized pace. Since the pandemic, okay, and I'm just going to look for 2021 just as an example, the growth in services spending this year has been about 7.5 to 8%. So again, starting to get back towards that pre-pandemic trend line, but the growth that we have seen in goods spending has been almost 20% this year. And that's part of the reason why we're seeing supply chain issues. There's so much spending going on the goods side. Well, eventually prices get to a point where individuals say, you know what, I'm not going to continue spending more and more on goods, and I'm going to start transitioning back to spending on services as we, you know, go through the next 6 months or so. And that's likely to have a bit of a dampening effect as well. So the end result of this is I still do not see any path to inflation going back down into that 2 to 3% range in the next year. So anyone listening right now who said, oh, Chuck, you're whistling past the graveyard, inflation's not going to go back to 2 to 3%. It's not. I am in full agreement that it's not going back to 2 to 3% anytime, really in the next 18 months, I think. But I also believe that it's really hard for it to maintain this 6% annualized pace. And I think we likely settle somewhere in the high threes to low fours when we look out a year from now.
Yeah. One little technical area that, you know, has been mentioned a few times in the last few days is shipping rates. They look at the Baltic Dry Index as one way to look at this, which has been climbing precipitously, you know, since beginning of the year. You've just seen, you know, the cost of moving goods from all over the world has just been going up and up and up. That peaked right around early October and has now declined big time over just the last, really the last month. It's gone down quite a bit. And I think you might be able to look at that as a bit of a leading indicator in terms of big supply chain issues that we've been experiencing. You and I have talked about how, yeah, the shipping rates alone aren't going to determine all of the price increases for things that we shop for, but it certainly serves as an indication that we are seeing declines in certain areas that may make their way through different areas of the economy. And I guess the other piece that I go back to, you know, when we talk about inflation peaking, what we're talking about is the pace of growth peaking. You know, this is not to say, like Chuck pointed out, this is not to say that, hey, prices are going back down because we think that inflation has peaked. No, we just don't think that the pace of these price increases will continue to go up at 6%+ every year for the next, you know, for the next several months.
It's the same way that we think that, hey, you might not see 17% annualized home price increases going forward for the next year, but that doesn't mean they're going to come back down by 12%. They might just level off and go back up by 3 or 4 or whatever they end up going up by. So I think inflation is going to continue to be something that we focus on, but I think we're starting to get towards the peak of it now as we're starting to see some signs that these bottlenecks are easing and maybe starting to get a little bit more production online as well. Why don't we take a quick break here? And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Rick Betancourt from Caliber Home Loans right after this.
Wall Street Watch, a full update on the market's performance to date. Weekdays at 10:30, only here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network. One of the most important elements of estate planning is making sure that your family's financial future is safe. Leaving money, homes, or other assets can be very beneficial to your children and grandchildren. However, gifting these assets can pose major problems if you aren't careful. If you gift your home or a vacation property to your kids and they suddenly decide to sell it, your gift, while well-intentioned, could create massive capital gains tax problems. Cushing and Dolan are experts in elder law. They've been helping families across New England for more than 30 years. If you're at the point where legacy planning is a consideration, then you need to call them at 866-848-5699 and ask for their brand new guide called The Do's and Don'ts of Gifting Assets. This guide will present valuable information, whether you're deep into the planning process or at the very beginning. Call today, 866-848-5699, and get this new guide, The Do's and Don'ts of Gifting Assets. That's 866-848-5699. Or you can download the guide right now by visiting their website, LegalExchangeShow.com. Have a question for Barry and Chuck? Now you can text us at 63566 and take part in the show at any time. Start your text with keyword Barry and join our exclusive club. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
We're pleased to be participating in this year's DAV Radiothon produced by our Boston affiliate, WRKO. The Radiothon is continuing all day today, so please donate now by calling 978-632-1985. That number again, 978-632-1985. You can also go to davma.org, and if you're making a gift on the website, click on the link for the Radiothon and then click the link that says tickets. That's how you'll make your online gift. And thanks again on this Veterans Day for supporting the DAV of Massachusetts. But right now we are joined by Rick Betancourt. He's the VA guy from Caliber Home Loans. We've talked to him before on the program, and he's an advocate and educator for veterans using the VA home loan program. And really appreciate you joining us again today, Rick.
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here. Love you guys. You guys do a phenomenal job.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so I know that you and Caliber are very, you know, heavily involved with the DAV.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about what that relationship looks like and, you know, why helping military veterans is so important to you and your organization.
Well, Caliber's, it's one of Caliber's five main foundations is helping service members. And what better way than working with an organization like the DAV here in Massachusetts, where they focus on a lot of our a lot of our veterans that have service-connected disabilities, mental, physical, emotional. So there's also a huge disconnect in the VA home loan benefit world itself. Massachusetts, as I've mentioned before, only 7% of our veterans here in the state use their VA home loan benefit.
And anyone,
7%.
That's just education.
There's like 29,000 active VA loans right now in Massachusetts with about 381,000 veterans. So the disconnect there, we feel a Caliber and a DAV partnership. I think we can do some incredible advocacy and outreach and education for that community.
So, I mean, I know you're very well educated on all this stuff. And I think when I hear stats like that, to me, that just means we're not doing a good enough job of getting the word out, and we need to do a better job educating people.
Yep.
So, you know, helping vets obtain funding through the VA loan is what you do. How does that actually, you know, how does that program work? And, you know, what does the process look like
for
a veteran that's shopping out there right now?
It's not difficult. Like, a lot of stigmas and rumors are out there that it's difficult. It's hard. You can't get it. It's phenomenal. I mean, last year VA had their top year, 1.7 million VA originations in the US, which was their best year. 07, they only had 250,000. So to show you the increase. Wow. So for veterans here in Massachusetts to get a VA loan, it's very, very simple. It's not difficult. Certainly, you know, there's some extra questions that we're required to ask when you a non-VA application to a VA application. And I think that's why it's important for our service members to be working with a specialist that operates in this sphere. Because if you don't understand some of those nuances, for example, translating experience on a DD-214 or their discharge papers to what's going on in civilian life, sometimes I might miss out on an opportunity to own a home.
When we talk about the, you know, the rates and the loans that are available to veterans, and maybe you can for a minute just compare the benefits to the general public, if you don't mind. I mean, what sort of options are out there for veterans, and what might they be missing out on if they're not considering a VA home loan?
Well, certainly they're missing out on a lower rate.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt. I mean, traditionally, non-VA loans, Fannie Freddie, those are very dependent on loan to values, amount of down payment, plus your credit score, right? Property type transaction. VA, they have only really two main aspects that kind of adjust that rate, and that's going to be their credit score and oftentimes their loan size, where there's a bit of a difference.
Sure.
So if you're a service member not taking advantage of the VA loan, you're certainly missing out on a lower rate. You're missing out on retaining assets for yourself to invest other way, because VA loan is a 0% down payment loan, right?
Right.
So with a lower rate and no private mortgage insurance, no PMI, certainly
it's huge.
A service member has a better buying power with no down payment. That way they can use those assets that they retain for investment and other opportunities down the line.
Again, we're talking with Rick Betancourt from Caliber Home Loans. They're advocates and educators for veterans using the VA home loan program. Rick, is Caliber doing anything, you know, in particular special today to celebrate Veterans Day?
Well, we did yesterday.
Obviously, you're here, so that's pretty special.
Well, we're closed. We are closed honoring our service members, but we have a phenomenal military. We have our own, we're the only lender that I know of that has our own internal military lending division, and that's run by our senior vice president, Brian Burjan's good friend of mine. So yesterday was our Veteran Appreciation Day. And generally what we do is we fly in from all of our 540 different branches. We'll fly in a bunch of veterans that works for us to our corporate office in Dallas and have an event. Well, we couldn't do that right now due to the pandemic. So we did a virtual Appreciation Day yesterday, and it was pretty awesome. We had some special guests with the ESGR was there. We had UDT SEAL Foundation. We had the Green Beret Foundation. So those are three organizations that we have partnerships, exclusive educational partnerships with the Navy SEAL Foundation, with the Green Beret Foundation, as well as we're trying to work with right now with Ranger Up.
Excellent. Yep. Rick, really appreciate your time coming on the program today.
Pleasure.
To educate our listeners and, you know, just again, celebrating our veterans and raising money for the DAV. Obviously a great cause, and we really appreciate all the work you do and can't wait to talk to you again.
I'll tell you, you know, I appreciate you being here. I just want to say real quick to all the audience listening, it's a phenomenal organization. Reach into those pockets, donate some money to DAV, and help change the life of a disabled veteran.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
So picking back up into the stack quickly, I know Rick and I were actually just talking about Disney before we went off air here. And Chuck, we had a report on earnings yesterday from Disney, and big surprise came out that they missed earnings, and we are, you know, we're seeing the stock sell off a little bit today. I want to get your opinion on this. Obviously, the big number here is that new user signups on their streaming platform down, not down, but missing expectations here. And it seems to me that, you know, obviously Disney has such a moat and such an excellent business model, but kind of priced to possibly have some things go wrong at this point. I want to get your take on, you know, what we saw yesterday from Disney.
Well, I think there are a couple different things to unpack when it comes to their earnings report. Obviously, as you mentioned, they grew their total subscribers for Disney Plus by 2 million subscribers. We were expecting to see an additional 7 million. So we were expecting to see 9 million new users. And we got two.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal when you're talking about trying to get to, you know, 230 to 260 million users within the next 3 to 4 years. So that's kind of an issue that you run into there. But it's hard to tell exactly where the specific issue is, because here's a question that I'll ask to both of you. Both of you have Disney Plus, correct?
I do.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Yep.
Yeah. Here's a question. Obviously, there's stuff that kids can watch. What is the show right now that Disney Plus has that everyone's talking about?
It was The Mandalorian, but I don't think it's anything right
now. Oh, that was a year ago. Yeah. That was a year ago. Right. You know, they don't have anything right now that's generating buzz. And so I think part of it is the signups tend to be, I think, a little bit clumpy just based on what platform has the hot show right now. I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix next earnings report shows, you know, a bigger than expected increase because everyone and their grandma's talking about Squid Game. Yeah. So I think there's some of that. I want to dig into this a little bit more in our next segment.
Yeah,
as
let's
well,
do that.
Just because I think there's some conversation to be had about their parks and hotels as well that I think is relevant when we're talking about Disney too.
Quick break, Wall Street Watch, and then we'll get a little bit more into the Disney earnings when we come back.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at TFE Show. Breaking business news is always first, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Time now for Wall Street Watch. A complete look at what's moving markets so far today, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
It's time for Wall Street Watch, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union. What will DCU mean to you? Membership required? Find out today by visiting DCU.org. And we're joined now by Paul Lane from the Armstrong Advisory Group for a look around at markets. And Paul, it looks like you're going to try and break the two-day trend here. Two of three major indices in positive territory so far this morning.
Yeah, Mike, it's been an up-and-down morning, but we've got the Dow Jones down about 104 points at the moment, or 0.3%. However, as you mentioned, the S&P 500 is up 5 points, or 0.11%, and the NASDAQ is rallying even more off its weekday yesterday when it was down 1.7%. Today, it is up 94 points, or 0.6%, and the Russell 2000 is up 0.85%. Bond market is closed today in honor of Veterans Day. The U.S. 10-year Treasury closed at 1.57%. That was a 12 basis points rally yesterday, but as I mentioned, no bond trading today. Looking at oil, oil is trading at $81.67 a barrel. That's up 0.4%. If we take a look at some of the sectors moving markets today, the utility sector is down 0.4%, likely off that 10-year Treasury rally that we saw yesterday, and the materials sector is in the positive, up 0.64%, as well as the energy sector, also up close to a 0.5%, Mike.
Paul, you've got a firm up over 11% this morning, I believe, on a announcement of a partnership with Amazon, or an expanded partnership with Amazon. Remind everybody what a firm exactly does and what's the news out this morning.
Yeah, Mike, so Affirm is a buy now, pay later company, a concept that is not new to all of us out there. Layaway was something that was quite popular before, but they've sort of adapted the technology to reflect the modern world that we're in, and they're one of the leaders in the space. As you mentioned, they have a partnership with Amazon that they expanded. They are now going to be the exclusive third-party provider on Amazon sites for this buy now, pay later service until 2023. They also will be integrated into Amazon Pay's digital wallet as well. So that exclusivity is really a big reason for the jump in the stock today. They also did come out with quite strong earnings as well. They reported a quarterly revenue beat of $270 million versus analyst expectations of $248 million. The company has achieved great growth over the last year. They're up to 102,000 merchants versus only 6,500 just a year ago around September 30th. And they've also seen their merchandise volume jump 84% to $2.7 billion. And now they have a total of 8.7 million active users on the platform. That's up 124% from a year earlier. They did report a larger than anticipated loss of $45 million for the quarter. That was versus $8 million just a year ago for the company. But the stock up quite a bit on this partnership news today. They also have partnerships in place with Peloton that's used quite frequently, a firm to pay off the bikes, as well as Shopify and Walmart. Stock has been on a tear recently, trading at $149 a share at the moment, Mike.
That's Paul Lane from the Armstrong Advisory Group joining us for Wall Street Watch, in particular today taking a look at Affirm Holdings, ticker symbol there, AFRM. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
And that is Wall Street Watch presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union. What will DCU mean to you? Membership required? Find out today by visiting DCU.org.
I needed a new car I could rely on, so I got an auto loan from DCU. The rates are low, and I was able to borrow a little extra to make a used car as good as new. What will DCU mean to you? Insured by NCUA. Membership required. Visit DCU.org.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Before we get to the next topic, Chuck, I just wanted to mention Rick Betancourt, who was on the program just a minute ago from Caliber Home Loans, apparently a little bit modest. Before he left, he and the folks at Caliber made a $30,000 donation to the DAV. So keep them coming, folks. And again, thanks to Rick and the folks at Caliber for just supporting a great cause. And yeah, can't wait to see how much we can raise today. Again, you can donate now by calling 978-632-1985, or you can go to davma.org and click on that link for the Radiothon to make a donation. And thanks again to Rick and all the folks at Caliber for such a sizable and generous donation.
Mike, in terms of Disney, just to spin back there just for a minute or two, this is a company that when they launched Disney Plus back in 2019, they saw an immediate uptick in their revenue growth. They went from, you know, growing revenue anywhere from, I'm just looking at it right now, from 55 to, they were growing revenue 8 to 10% a year. Disney Plus allowed them to turbocharge that from March of 19, the quarter that ended then, through March of 20. They saw revenue growth over 30%. Wow. Okay, so just a massive uptick in revenue. Between the pandemic and now the slowdown on the Disney Plus side, their revenue today is basically back where it was in the middle of 2019. And so I think that obviously the case to investors is, hey, when we get everything fully functioning again, when our parks are back at full capacity and everyone's, you know, booking trips instead of, you know, some people still staying on the sidelines, when Disney Plus is growing, you know, year over year, hey, we've got a really good growth story. But it really has been disrupted. And obviously this miss in terms of the number of subscribers on the Disney Plus service, I think is the first time that we've really seen a significant miss there in terms of the growth on that platform.
Yeah, I guess I just see a little bit of execution risk here. And I mean, obviously, look, there's a lot that can still go well for Disney. The parks are not at full capacity, right? They are not nearly as busy as they were in 2019. And so that's going to pick up. I really think that's just a matter of time. On the content side, obviously that requires a lot of execution. And if you go look at, you know, we've done this before, but I need to read through the box office numbers again from 2019. Number one, Avengers Endgame. Number two, Lion King. Number three, Toy Story 4. Number four, Frozen 2. Number five, Captain Marvel. Number six, Star Wars. Number seven, Spider-Man. And number eight, Aladdin. Disney closed, I think, was Spider-Man a Disney asset at that point? Or I don't remember if it was.
I think that was Sony.
Might have been Sony.
It was still Sony at that point.
Okay, so seven of the top ten they had in the box office. And by the way, Avengers blew everybody else out of the water with $300 million additional gross revenue from that movie compared to number two. That's the expectation now, though. I mean, you've got Walt Disney Motion Pictures for the last decade taking five to eight of the top ten spots in the box office, and they need to continue to execute on that at a very high level if they're going to see their revenue, you know, return to those high growth levels. Because, frankly, the growth that they've already seen from Disney Plus, that's priced in right now, right? I mean, what they've seen, don't get me wrong, they executed like nobody ever anticipated on the streaming, but you know, can they continue that? I think is the big question that I have.
Can I tell you something else that bothers me?
Yes.
It's about Disney. Just to make sure. At the same time, Mr. Shopik signaled that the company's physical and digital worlds are blurring together. Disney Parks visitors have been encouraged to download apps and tools to create an itinerary for the day, order food, and purchase perks, and the company is distributing movies and TV shows across screens large and small. Quote, our efforts to date are merely a prologue to a time when we'll be able to connect the physical and digital worlds even more closely, allowing for storytelling without boundaries in our own Disney metaverse.
Oh, he sounds like Zuckerberg.
The more I hear big established companies talk about the metaverse, the more I know it's not going to be them who are actually driving it.
Mm.
They do not have the ability to drive what's cool on this stuff. I don't think they're going to be able to do it because they're trying to do things that, quite honestly, no one's asking for it. Again, Microsoft, not to tie this up too much, Microsoft was like, oh, hey, you'll be able to have virtual meetings. Yeah, because after the last year and a half, that's what everyone really wants is a virtual meeting. Can't wait to do that. So in any case, I think this metaverse talk getting a little bit ahead of itself as it tries to sell investors that it's the next big thing. But hey, whatever. Let's take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Sergeant Tabitha Gondreau from the Massachusetts Air National Guard right after this.
Breaking business and financial news first throughout the day, only here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Fall is fantastic on Nantucket. The crowds are smaller, the weather is mild, and Southern Airways Express can get you there from Norwood, Providence, and New Bedford. Southern Airways flies from convenient, smaller, less congested airports, making it easy for you to pick the day and time you want to travel. So take off for a day trip, an overnight, or a long weekend, and enjoy fall on Nantucket. Fly from convenient locations in Norwood, Providence, and New Bedford, and avoid Logan's long lines and high costs. Southern Airways Express. Fast flights, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com.
The new year is just around the corner, but you still have time to put together a strategy to save more money in the coming year, prepare for retirement, and safeguard your assets. Call the Armstrong Advisory Group at 800-393-4001 and ask for their new free guide, The Top 10 Year-End Tips. That's 800-393-4001, or download it right now at armstrongadvisory.com. Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Michael Armstrong, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
This is your home for the most comprehensive coverage of the economy and the trends on Wall Street. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
We are right in the middle of this year's DAV Radiothon, produced by our Boston affiliate, WRKO. The Radiothon continues all day today, but please donate now by calling 978-632-1985. That number again is 978-632-1985, or go to davma.org. If you're making a gift on the website, make sure you click on the link for the Radiothon and then click the link that says tickets, and that's how you'll be able to make your online gift.
Oh, we lost him.
all the proceeds going to the DAV of Massachusetts. And so, once again, this is just a fantastic cause. And again, it's Veterans Day. If you can't take even just one day to do something to help honor our vets, well, it's something all of us should be doing, because we all owe them a significant debt of gratitude. Mike, let's talk a little bit about Elon Musk.
Must
Elon,
we?
Well, no, we have to, because again,
Musk, Mike, we. Sorry.
Okay.
Stretch.
So, Elon, over the weekend, did his now infamous Twitter poll, where he asked whether or not he should sell 10% of his Tesla stock. And at the time, I said,
great way for an investment management strategy.
I said, look, he has to do this anyways, because he has a tax bill coming from realizing some of those stock options this year. He was granted an awful lot of it. Stock-based compensation is taxable, and so he had to sell some in order to pay a significant tax bill. And what's come out now is not only did he have to do this, but he actually, back in September, pre-scheduled this series of sales to kick off this week. In fact, putting this preset trading plan into place on September 14th. So even before the week started, he knew he was going to be selling stock this week. And this is the kind of thing that, quite honestly, in this case, doesn't really have any huge impact. But it's one of those things where you continue to just not really know whether Elon's telling you the truth or not.
Yeah.
And it just erodes his credibility, and it hasn't bitten him to this point. Do you guys remember, I can't remember exactly when it was, but when he just started tweeting the Star Spangled Banner and no one knew if it was him or not.
Yeah, it was like right. 2 years ago.
Two out of the three of us thought that he was hacked, and he turned out he wasn't.
So it's these kinds of things where you just... it just erodes some of his credibility. And again, it hasn't impacted Tesla to this point. It hasn't impacted Elon to this point. But it's just the kind of thing where you're never quite sure if you're the sucker at the table or if you're playing alongside Elon, you know?
Yeah, I guess I'm with you there. There's all sorts of stuff here. Like, you know, anything that he talks about regarding the stock is hypothetically supposed to be pre-cleared through his legal department. And so, you know, once again, could you potentially have the SEC, you know, inquiring with Tesla about what Elon Musk is doing? Frankly, I think probably not, because I think the SEC just isn't going to make a big stink about Elon Musk unless something goes horribly wrong. But I'm with you on the credibility piece. You know, when he makes an announcement these days, ever since taking Tesla private at 420, I think his credibility when he says something on Twitter, you do just need to question now at this stage. It doesn't mean that he's not an intelligent person or one of the, you know, greatest CEOs of our current time. It just means, you know, it's problematic. I had a question for Barry the other day, and I guess I would ask the same of you. Is there any stock out there? I don't mean a company's ability to succeed, because I think without Elon Musk, Tesla could still build cars and, you know, still execute. But is there any one stock that has a bigger key man risk than Tesla at this stage?
No.
I can't think of any.
It's Tesla, and then I think if you're probably talking a distant second.
Distant?
Maybe Apple.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, Apple, we've said that before, and then turned out it wasn't a big key man risk. So maybe, yeah, I'm with you. There is no company out here right now, no stock out here right now that is as reliant on their CEO as Tesla. Company would probably just be just fine. They would probably still continue to execute and build beautiful cars. But can the stock price maintain itself without that? I don't know.
Maybe GE with Larry Culp.
Maybe. That would be tough because the number of CEOs through a very short period of time. You're kidding? Okay, fair enough.
I was completely kidding. I don't think it's even in the same category. Folks, I want to talk to you about the latest guide that is available from the Armstrong Advisory Group. It's all about what to do as you're heading into the end of the year. Specifically, it's titled The Top 10 Year-End Tips. And these are 10 great items to help you make sure that you're getting your financial planning in order prior to year end, and that you're getting everything set up heading into 2022 as well. Number of these items are time sensitive, including if you have required minimum distributions on any of your retirement accounts, One of the things that you could do if you're interested in donating to this year's DAV 5K, actually not the 5K, but just the radiothon that we're doing that benefits the DAV, is something called a qualified charitable distribution. These are the kinds of things that this guide is all about. How do you make the most of your money to make sure that you are being as efficient as possible and also accomplishing your goals? So the guide, once again, is titled The Top 10 Year-End Tips, and there are two ways to get it. First, call 800-393-4001. That number is 800-393-4001. Or go to armstrongadvisory.com, click the monthly guide button, and then you can download the guide for free. Either way, doesn't cost you anything, and it's packed with great things that you can do over the next, by the way, only 50 days left in the year now. So the guide is titled The Top 10 Year-End Tips. The way to get it, call 800-393-4001 or go to armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated, Charles Zada representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
Rivian, the automaker building electric vehicles, who I think to this point has built maybe a couple hundred of them, is went through an IPO and is now worth $86 billion, Mike.
Boom. Up another, 13.8% today.
So it's worth almost $100 billion right now, despite the fact that they've made fewer than 1,000 vehicles.
So I know that that's ludicrous, and it very well still could go the way of Nikola, for example. But I think that
No.
You disagree? No. Yeah. Well, I don't think the way of Nikola because nobody was pushing this thing down the road. And that's the big difference to me is, and I think maybe a lesson for I don't know that we're going to see a whole lot more giant electric vehicle producers come online at this stage. But I think the key here with Rivian's success was at least get a working vehicle on the road before you try and make your stock publicly traded. Is it too expensive? Quite possibly. But at least you have a working vehicle and legitimate funding from other sources before you go public.
Yeah, I think the key item with Rivian here is don't commit securities fraud.
Yeah, that helps too.
You know, again, there is no company out there that I will compare to the scamminess that went on with Nikola. That was just a whole different level of crap. So
yeah,
this company, there's a case to be made. Hey, there's no way they should be worth $100 billion, but at least there's a functional car that they are building and delivering right now.
You can make that same case with Tesla, right? I mean, you could make a very similar case with what's going on with Tesla stock right now. So who are we to say?
Yeah, so I think there are very big differences between this and Nikola. Nikola was just run by raccoons, and this company at least is something that is legitimate building a product. That is all the time we have on this hour of the Financial Exchange. Please make sure you donate to the DAV Radiothon by calling 978-632-1985. Again, that number is 978-632-1985. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're back with hour number two.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.